I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, the last chapter of Luke, Luke 24, verse 49. God's got something for you today, and He wants to give it to you. You've got to be ready, got to be willing. Some of you will be, some of you won't. And that's kind of the sad part, is because we're just not all there. I'm just going to tell you the way it is. Everybody's not there. We ought to be. We ought to be, but we're not. I'm really getting too old to beat around the bushes when I preach. You know, I'm running out of time. I got to start telling it like it is. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Glory to God. That word endued means to be clothed. To be clothed, but in a way that is about God being clothed. About God being clothed. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. Lord, we want to talk today about being clothed in power. About being clothed in power. And I just ask you, Lord Jesus, to have your way in this service, to speak to our hearts. Lord, what you just spoke to us, Lord, is exactly where we are as a people. We are so distracted and so busy. God, I pray that for a moment we just put everything down. Stop. Just stop. And look to heaven. Look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And I ask you to touch everybody here today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have people that are foodies. Y'all know what a foodie is? A foodie likes food. Amen? How many foodies do we have in the room? Lying is a sin, church. I know we got more than five. Now, not everybody's a foodie. Now, some people are not into food as much. They're into clothes. We're going to talk about clothes today. They love clothes. They love shopping for clothes. We got some people in here that are into clothes. You're not going to raise your hand. Okay. God bless you for being honest and having a godly heart. We got a lot of you ladies, I know you love clothes. And we've got my brother that passed away a few years ago, my brother Phil, he loved clothes. He did. He loved fine suits and he loved to dress up. He was that way when we were kids. When we were kids, we used to play cowboys and stuff like that out in the yard. I kid you not. He would walk out into the yard. We were getting ready to play cowboys. He'd come out in the back with a suit on and one of them bolo ties, and he'd say, "I'm Wyatt Earp." He had on his gun belt. He'd pull his coat back just like on TV, man. I mean, he loved to dress up. He loved clothes. And when we wear clothes, we need to wear things that are appropriate. My grandchildren love to wear these tennis shoes that light up when you walk. But I would look funny if I was up here this morning and I had something like that on. Right? It looks great on the kids, but it wouldn't look great on me. Right? I tell you what, though, if we'd have had those when I was a kid, I'd have thought that was pretty cool. But there was no such thing. Or if this morning I had on a pair of those skinny jeans. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't know how they move around in those things. My youngest son wears them, and I'm like, son, do you have blood circulation all the way down to your feet? So you have to dress appropriately, right? Right. Now, this verse says that you're going to be clothed in power by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand something. Sometimes living our Christian life is tough, especially the age and the time we live in. These young people right here face things, guys, y'all never dreamed about. They face things you never even knew about. Some of you still don't know about, right? Because I hear stuff every once in a while, and I have no idea what they're talking about. You know, people are like, have you heard of this or you heard of that? And I'm like, I hadn't heard of it. I don't know anything about it. You know, I just. Barney Fife would say, I was naive. I was so naive. You just don't know. But it can be so hard facing, and you're like, God, how do we do this? How do we live this Christian life? How do we be witnesses for Christ? How do we do so many of the things that Brother Glenn preaches about, and we talk about, and we walk out of here and we think, yeah, this is tough. I mean, where the rubber hits the road in the real world, how do we do that? Well, Jesus did something wonderful, folks. How many of you know you are the army of God? You are. You are the army of God. Everything God does in the earth, he does through you. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his mouth. God works through us. He uses us. And if we don't let him use us, it don't get done. Amen. Amen. It don't get done. So that's why it's so important that we learn this principle I'm talking about this morning. God, Jesus said, guys, I'm going away. And they were pretty sad about that. Jesus was leaving. He wasn't going to be with them every day. That was nice having Jesus right there. But he said, I'm leaving. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. That word another in the Greek means one of another kind. There's two words for another in the Greek. One of a different kind, one of the same kind. The word Jesus used is one of the same kind. I'm going to send you somebody just like me. Another comforter like me. And it's the Holy Spirit, and he will abide with you, and he will dwell with you, and he will teach you. And then 10 days before Pentecost, the 50th day, we talked about that Wednesday night, 10 days before Pentecost, when Jesus was leaving the earth, he told his disciples and his followers, go to Jerusalem and wait there, and you will be clothed in power. Glory to God. Why? Because you're going to need it. This is tough. It's not easy. And that's why I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. So, church, God did not leave us unequipped. We're equipped. I read a good bit and I observe and stuff, and I've watched. And you know, one of the things that amazes me is in our military, those guys in our military today, they have some cool toys. Right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But they've got equipment and things that they can do, that's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. Jets that can lock on an enemy 70, 80, 90 miles away, they never see them. It's not like in the old days when planes flew around dogfighting. They lock on to somebody they don't even see. But the radar sees them, the satellites see them, and they lock on, fire a missile, take them out 100 miles away. Missiles that are called smart missiles that have cameras in them and eyes that are programmed to look for a target. And they can fly into an area looking for a building that looks a certain way. That's unbelievable stuff. And who knows what they got we don't know about. They've got all kinds of... You don't put those soldiers out there in battle without equipping them. Right? That'd be wrong. If we're going to send our men into battle, we need to give them every possible tool. I believe that. If you're going to put them out there, equip them. Well, God didn't send you, go ye into all the world to preach the gospel. Now I'm not going to give you anything to help you. You're going to have to figure this out on your own. You're not going to have any equipment. That would not be good. But God didn't do that. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. Yes, I'm telling you to go. Yes, I'm giving you a mandate. Yes, I'm giving you orders. But I'm also giving you the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will walk with you and go with you and clothe you with power. That you're not alone. This Christian life that we're all endeavoring to live, we're not called to live it alone. We have help. God has equipped and enabled us with the Holy Spirit. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is for, to enable us, to equip us to walk this Christian life. Because, man, I'm not good enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough. None of us are. But what is within you? Greater is he that is in me than he that is. It doesn't say greater are you than he that is in the world. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have been made more than conquerors through him who loved us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. The strongholds of the enemy. The strongholds that grip our minds and grip our hearts and keep us from walking in the places that we know we ought to walk. And alone, I don't stand a chance against that. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying is, I left you equipped. And that is the purpose of the baptism or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. After you get saved, after you're born again and you know Christ, you're like, okay, I bought in. I believe in Jesus. I'm a follower of Christ. But man, this is tough. I feel weak. I feel powerless. That's what the fullness of the Holy Spirit is about. So that you can be equipped. And that's why the Word of God, Paul came across the believers and he said, let me ask you guys something. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we hadn't even heard of it. And Paul said, well, what baptism were you baptized in? They said, we were baptized into the baptism of repentance, the baptism of John. And he said, no, you need to be baptized into the Holy Spirit. You need that power. Church, we're no different today. We need to learn to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to let God just get a hold of us. We need to quit running from God and start running to God. Quit fighting God. Quit twisting and squirming. Just go ahead and just, I don't know why we do that. Why do we do that? We resist the little things that God is nudging us in our hearts. And he's trying to do something with you. Let me show you what he's trying to do. Judges chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, but just want to share this with you. Judges chapter 6, verse 34 says, the Spirit, I want you to listen to this, because this is what this verse means that we're talking about in Luke. It says, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. We'll say that again. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. He's not talking about, there's another one in 2 Chronicles. It says, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Zechariah. The Spirit of the Lord became the clothes. Or the Spirit of the Lord clothed Zechariah. It's saying, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that Zechariah became the clothes. It's saying that Gideon became the clothes. The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself in Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself in Zechariah. I had that backwards. Do you see what I'm saying? The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. Gideon became the clothes. What I'm trying to tell you is this morning, God is in this room looking for a new set of clothes. God is in this room looking for something to clothe himself with. God is looking for people to clothe himself with. The Spirit of the Lord is looking for people to clothe himself with. And that's what happened in that upper room. Those 120 people in that upper room were clothed, clothed in power. The power of God came, but the Holy Spirit was looking for people to clothe himself with. Clothes just do whatever's inside of them. You know, clothes can't do anything. If we wear God, if God is the clothes and we're wearing God, then we're in control. That's not what this is saying. It's saying you're the clothes. I mean, it's saying that you're the clothes and God is clothing himself with you. You understand that? God is using you. You become the clothes and you do what he wants you to do. We walk around all the time, you know, I've got the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we do. But has he got you? Has he laid hold of you? Has he got you? And that's what allowing the Spirit of the Lord to clothe himself with you is really all about. The Spirit of the Lord clothing himself with us. That I finally yield. And that's why the fullness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I mean, you're like a bottle floating in an ocean. And God's the ocean. But you might not have any of that ocean in you. You know? But you're floating all over it. There are so many of God's people that are like that. They're like a bottle floating on a vast ocean. But get the ocean in you. Allow God to begin to fill you up. I'm not talking about salvation. You're saved. Amen. Say I'm saved. Say I'm born again. Hallelujah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about another dimension. We're talking about something. It doesn't save you, doesn't make you more saved, doesn't make God love you more, but it equips you. He said, you shall be endued with power to what? Become my witnesses. It's not easy. It's not easy. And that's why we need you. The things you face in life, you try to face them on your own, you're going to get whipped. You just are. And some of you wonder why I can't overcome. I can't walk as an overcomer. I just keep getting beat up. This is why. You haven't learned the secret of allowing God to use you as a suit of clothes. To clothe himself with you. To become yielded. Just to give up. To quit fighting God and let God take over. He said, you will be clothed in what? Power. Dunamis. Power. The power of God. The Bible says we have authority as believers. Authority to use the power of God. But when he clothes you, or he takes and clothes himself with you, that power becomes innate in your life. You become connected to that life source. You become connected to that power. Those 120 people gathered in that upper room the way Jesus told them to. They went there and waited. These are believers. These are followers of Jesus. But God was telling them, I got something else for you. I'm glad you're a believer, but I've got something else that'll make you stronger, give you joy, give you power, give you life. And they gathered in that upper room, and the Bible says that there was a great wind that came and filled that place, and it was shaken by the Holy Spirit. The wind of God filled that upper room. The presence of God came and shook that place, and they were shaken by the power of God, and fire came and rested upon them. God saw the sacrifice and the glory. That's glory. The glory of the Lord filled that room. Folks, that's awesome. And read the book of Acts. It didn't happen just one time. It happened several times. You'll read where they were gathered together praying, and the Bible says the place was shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Glenn, God doesn't do that anymore. Yes, he does. It's happening all over the world where people are hungry, where people are reaching for it, where people are seeking for it. It's happening. But it's determined by hungry hearts that are passionate for God, who said, you know what? I've had enough of this world. I want something good. I want something good. You know how on Thanksgiving or holidays and there's pies and cakes and stuff, and you'll sit there and eat all that stuff? We've all done it. And we sit there and we eat it, and we go back and we get that other piece, you know, and we just eat a bunch of junk. And how do you feel at the end of the day? Like, I shouldn't eat that stuff, you know? I wished I hadn't eaten all that stuff. What's bad about it, though, we'll say that an hour later, be digging in the refrigerator for more. But we feel bad because you're full of sugar. You're full of that stuff. You're just full of it. But you know, remember how you get though, after all that rich food, you find yourself wanting some real food. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Your body is saying, I need some real food. I need some protein. I need something. Your body, you get, that's the way it is with God. We're so full of stuff and sweets and sugar and the stuff of the world. Folks, I want some real food. I don't like play church. I don't like scratch your ears and tickle your back and go through the motions and make everybody feel good and just hand out pies and pieces of cake and all that. And I want something real with the power and glory of God in it. And to say, God, I want the fire of God. I want the fire of God. And that I would be willing to let God take me and use me and clothe me with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God filled that room. And they came out of that upper room at 9 o'clock in the morning, full of the Spirit of God. The Bible says this was a feast day. It was the feast of Pentecost, Shavuot, the feast of weeks. And it's a feast day. Jerusalem was full of people from all over different areas of the world. And these men came out of that room speaking lots of different languages, and people heard them. Unlearned men and women speaking the languages of the world. And what were they saying? They were proclaiming the glories of God in the foreign tongues of the world. That's awesome. Speaking those languages and undoubtedly speaking heavenly languages. As they spoke in tongues, and people were like, what is this? And Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. And it shall be for as many as the Lord our God shall call. This is that. The fulfillment of a prophecy written by a prophet by the name of Joel, that in the last days God will pour out his Spirit, and that God would write his law upon the fleshly tablets of our hearts. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for us to walk in weakness when God has given us his power, and God has enabled us with the power of the Holy Spirit. He has equipped us. Look at the things he's equipped us with. Listen to the fruit of the Spirit. These are the evidences of a Spirit-filled life. When you're walking in the Spirit, the Bible says to walk in the Spirit, to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and you'll walk in the Spirit. It says walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, the other takes care of itself. But as you walk in the Spirit, there are evidences of a Spirit-filled life. Listen to anything that sounds familiar in your life. Love. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Unconditional agape love. You just love. There's no condition to it. Just love. We're called to love people. We're not called to like everybody. Y'all need to understand that. There's things you don't like, you don't agree with. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? Right? But I can love them. I can love them in the Lord. And I can pray for them, and I can weep for them, and I can be broken for them. There are a lot of things I see on TV that grieves my heart, and I don't agree with it, and I don't like it. But I love them, and I pray for them, and I weep for them. My heart breaks for them. Love, joy, the joy of the Lord. We're supposed to be a joyful people. The Holy Spirit's about joy. Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet. We've been redeemed. Our sins have been washed away. We have reservations made in glory. What are we so sad about? What are we so down about? Peace. Don't be so agitated. Don't be in turmoil all the time. There doesn't always have to be drama. Chill out. Amen? Everybody take a deep breath right now. It's called peace. Learn to walk in the peace of the Spirit of God. Patience. Slow down. Slow down. I was going down 16th Avenue. The guy was behind me in a little sports car, and he kept darting back. It was one of the, y'all know how 16th Avenue can be sometimes. This guy was darting back and forth, trying to find. There was no fast lane. And he was so impatient. You know, he'd whip over and he'd go by me a little bit, and then I'd go by him. And I'd just smile at him. And then he'd whip up behind me because our lane was now moving. Then he'd go back over. And it was just funny watching him. It was just funny. We're so impatient. We just want it now, now, now. I guess next thing we'll have is our drive-thru. We just drive through it and let them throw the food in our mouth as we go by. We want it fast. Kindness. Whatever happened to that? Come on, church. Kindness. Showing the kindness of the Lord to people. Goodness. Just old-fashioned goodness. Faithfulness. Loyalty. Dependable. Faithful. You can count on them. Their word means something. Gentleness. A gentle heart. Deal with people in gentleness. Self-control, discipline. Some self-control. There used to be a program when I was a kid. There was a comedian called Flip Wilson. Is anybody here old enough to remember Flip Wilson? And one of the things he used to do in his program, he'd go, "The devil made me do it." The devil made me do it. And we're like, folks, come on, how about a little self-control? We got all these excuses, and everybody's a victim anymore. What's not my fault? It is your fault. Stand up. Be a woman. Be a man of God. Be accountable. Be faithful. But not only should we be seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our life, we ought to be seeing, and I'm going to close with this, the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of wisdom. You know what wisdom is? The application of knowledge. Or the correct application of knowledge. One of the gifts of the Spirit is knowledge. God gives you a word of knowledge. God gives you a knowing about certain situations. And it's Spirit given. You know. Folks, these are things that equip you in your walk. A word of knowledge about a situation. But He also gives you wisdom. Amen? A person with a lot of knowledge and no wisdom is a dangerous person. And I've known them. They don't know how to apply the knowledge that they have. It's like a wrecking ball, like a bull in a china shop. Wisdom, to know how to handle things, how to move with deliberation. That's the Holy Spirit operating in your life. You walk in wisdom. You walk in knowledge. Another gift of the Spirit is faith. When the Holy Spirit clothes Himself with you, your faith will grow. There are times when God will give you a gift of supernatural faith for the moment that you know in your knower that God's going to do this. Another is the gift of healing. Those are special gifts and operations of the Holy Spirit when He supernaturally heals. And that's different than healing by the word of God, and that's a special, special, supernatural act of God. Miracles. That's when, you know what a miracle is? A miracle is when God intervenes in the natural order of things. God intervenes in the natural order. That's a miracle. Gift of prophecy. Prophecy is thus saith the Lord. The ability to speak the word of God. The gift of discernment. Boy, this is a powerful gift. that people need operating today more than ever. The gift of discernment is the ability to discern the spirits that are operating around you, whether they be the spirit of God or the spirit of the devil or the spirit of man. But you can discern and you know this is not God. This is not God. God's not in this. God's not even close to this. You know. How do you know? Because you're walking with the Holy Spirit. This is your equipment. And then the gift of tongues and speaking. And some of you may have heard me speak in tongues up here. I do a lot when I pray. There are times when we have God will use a message in tongues. But if there's a message in tongues, the Bible says there has to be an interpretation. Otherwise, there's confusion. But there's also your prayer language. And Paul said this is for your personal edification, for your personal prayer life, for your worship. When you're worshiping and you're worshiping God in another language, or the Holy Spirit is interceding through you. That's power. But you don't have that unless you allow the Holy Spirit to clothe you in power or to come and to take your life. That's how those gifts operate in our life. And by the way, the gifts, the Bible says the gifts vary from person to person. So you may not be operating in all the gifts that somebody else is operating in. That's okay. You be what God called you to be. You operate in the gifts God called you to operate in, and let them operate in what they operate in. That's fine. We're not all going to have the same thing. He said, do all speak in tongues? No. So there are varying gifts. But folks, there are gifts, and we ought to be seeking for them. We ought to be longing for them. We ought to be cherishing them and treasuring them. So I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning, right now, to say, Glenn, I'm hungry to be clothed with the Spirit of God. Some of you here know what speaking in tongues is about. Some of you don't. But God may want you to do that. You may start speaking in another language, a heavenly language, and that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. You see, God moves in extraordinary ways. There was a man years ago who wrote a book called They Spake with Other Tongues, and he was determined. He was a writer. He was determined to prove that was all just a bunch of gibberish. And he went into a service, and in that service, this old guy who looked like a farmer, he didn't look like nothing, stood up and started speaking in another language. And there was a Jewish man in the service that said he was speaking perfect Hebrew. It was a large church in New York. Amen? And God spoke to that man in Hebrew and told him how much he loved him. You see, God does things like that, folks. God does things like that. But we have to allow God to work through us. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah.